Welcome to Drunk on Comics, episode 177, brought to you by InkWhiskey.com. Tony here, as always, sitting in the studio with Derek, who everyone else decided to bail, so fuck them, but you at least showed up.
We did. We put the team on our back today. Started off real hard with a shot of Wild Turkey 101 paired with Southern Bastards number 12. Then we talked about the Dan Doherty Kickstarter for Touching Evil for the hardcover.
Yep, another Kickstarter that we talked about was Don Bluth and the many amazing films that he's put out trying to get Dragon's Lair started. Talked about struggles DC is having. A little bit of Squirrel Girl.
Gotta have Squirrel Girl.
Yep. And then something that was close to my heart, Power Rangers. So sit back and enjoy Drunk on Comics, episode 177, Cash Cow. Many people, and Adam was one of them. Before hopping in the shower, I got a reply being like, oh yeah, I'll quick hop in the shower and I'll meet you there. And I was like, yay, happy. And then I found out it was from my hot friend Jackie and it wasn't Adam, and then I got sad.
That's a weird thing to be sad about.
I was sad that Adam didn't want to hang out, but he doesn't seem to want to be any of our friends because he's skipping out here too. So
yeah, so it's really... Yeah, apparently he's got a paper to write,
yeah, air quotes. Who does papers when they're adults? Like, that is the biggest bullshit. He could have just said he's hungover or something.
Who wants to better themselves? I mean, really.
Well, hopefully he is-ish.
I don't know.
We know that it's a lie, so he's not.
He's just sitting. He's playing Fallout, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Like I was all week. All right. I don't think I've slept. So.
How was that game? I haven't played any of them.
It's majestic. You played Fallout Shelter, something fierce, though, if I recall correctly.
Yes, I do, but that's just a small little handheld phone game. But
I do remember you freaking out that you got Deathclawed into your base, yeah, and they killed everyone. That was pretty funny.
So I read up a little bit on Fallout. Like I said, I do not know much about it, but there's like different vaults that have tested different things, like Vault 69.
Yep.
Seems like an awesome place to be.
I guess it depends on what kind of handstand testing they did there.
What?
That was an inverted...
Oh. Gotcha. Sorry.
It's all right. It's still early, and I know you just woke up, so... Crack of noon!
Yeah. Then let's pour a little bit of that special stuff you got for booze in the book.
I do this week. Pretty excited about it. Here you go, Tony. I know you're going to love this.
No, I really don't.
No, you do.
Oh, fuck.
So, yeah, booze in a book this week. One of my favorite series out there, Southern Bastards number 12 came out this week, and there was a giant-ass chicken on the cover of it because there was a psychedelic trip in the middle with a chicken chasing one of the characters that we haven't seen since issue 3.
Okay.
And heckling him. So I figured, what's the closest thing to a giant chicken in nature? That would be a turkey. So we have a lovely bottle of Wild Turkey 101 we're going to pair with this book, and Tony and I are going to do shots and try not to vomit while recording.
Oh, man. I don't know if I want this, but cheers to you, man.
You said you wanted booze on air, so. Does that just make you think of a giant chicken chasing you through your dreams?
Oh, my God. That just about made me puke a little in my mouth.
Enjoy the taste of the South, my friend.
Oh, I wasn't expecting you to do booze in a book at the beginning, but
hey, man,
you start off the podcast with that.
Hey, man, it's out there. The book came out this week. It's fantastic. We all love Jason Aaron and Jason Latour, so.
I think I died a little bit inside.
Well, it'll be a good start for the podcast for you. It'll be nice and warm and toasty. Maybe it'll loosen you up.
Yeah. I don't think I need to be more loosened up. I'm pretty much groggy as it is. Like, most shit doesn't really matter right now.
That is the most, like, existentially sad thing I've heard you say in probably a week.
my daily rituals each time I record.
Yeah.
This sucks.
It's like coming over and visiting Eeyore every weekend.
All right, well, let's get this podcast started. One of the things that I was excited to find out was actually a Kickstarter project, which is kind of not halfway, well, it's only got 10 days to go as of this recording, but they're only, like, less than halfway funded, which is sad. And it is for the Dragon's Lair, the movie. Have you ever played Dragon's Lair?
I remember back in the day going to Fun Junction and seeing it being the most fucking expensive video game in the universe. Had that cool, like, holographic table thing that you mm-hmm. sat around. It was kind of cinematic, wasn't it?
Yeah. And Dragon's Lair, beyond that, had some offshoots, comic books, this and that. But really unique designs. And the reason why I wanted to bring this Kickstarter up is because the designs were from Don Bluth, who is the master of animation. Like, all of his movies that he has done, hands down, are amazing. I would even will say Rocko Doodle also is up in that, even though
that movie was a shitstorm, but the animation was good.
Yeah,
so.
Okay, yeah. Maybe not so great story-wise, but fuck, all the other ones besides that one, story-wise, amazing too. Like, his first animation they did was Secret of Nim. That had me scared as fuck of, like, mice and rats for when I was younger.
You know, which is, yeah, I still kind of have that fear because my basement keeps getting them, and I keep trapping them.
See, do you ever think, like, they're hiding in the rose bush outside with, like, lights?
And well, they were hiding in the ivy outside until I plugged their hole with caulk. But, you know, I don't really think I've been murdering, like, happy, like, secret rats with their society. They're just...
I mean, seriously, if I found out that there are some, like, smart rats that had a society and stuff, I would be like, cool, guys, like, this is awesome. You come be my spies and other people's, like, you know, help me, like, break into, like, a bank or something, and now I sound like I'm a supervillain.
It's good to know you think Redwall was not fiction.
But, yeah, Don Bluth, he worked for Disney, and then when Disney was almost going to end their production of animation after Walt died. Him and a couple other people just walked off the lot and decided to start their own company, which is where Secret of Nim. So he has done some animation for Walt Disney, most notably for The Rescuers and Pete's Dragon. And really, most people, if you don't know anything about Don, you've seen some of at least one of his other movies, such as All Dogs Go to Heaven, Anastasia, The Land Before Time,
Tree Stars.
Yeah, his work has always been American Tail. Like, his, you know, like I said, just amazing animation. And I would totally love to see this Kickstarter get funded. So, with the many people that listen to us, go pay a thing or two.
Give him some dollars. Yep, yeah. Yep, yep.
Oh, my God.
That's right.
What was it? That character's name was Yuppie, right?
Ducky, not the Yuppie. Ducky, yeah, Yuppie, the affluent little tiny dinosaur.
Yeah. So. What was her brother?
Oh.
That it was like, it was not a Stegosaurus.
Oh, there was Spike, the one that wouldn't talk, and then Spike. Ducky, Spike, there was Sarah, the bitch Triceratops.
Yeah!
Littlefoot, and then what was the T-Rex's name? Wasn't it, like, Sharptooth or something?
Sharptooth!
I was terrified after my aunt took me to that movie when I was a kid that I was going to get eaten by a Tyrannosaurus with a scar on its face.
Here's the thing, too. Most, like, cartoons, there's not death, there's not real-world things that you have to deal with. That movie starts off with the mom and all of his herd dying. Like, that is a terrible... But, like, even Secret of Nim was scary dark, too. Like,
yeah.
I think that might be why I like this sort of animation. This All Dogs Go to Heaven. Yeah. And fucking dies still at the end. And remember when that devil-like dog was coming out? That shit was crazy.
That scared the shit out of me. I watched that with my grandma, and it, like, I was, like, visibly terrified. Between that and, like, Bambi, my childhood was just... really dark.
You know, though, not off tangent from the animation, though, all these movies have amazing, like, songs and soundtracks. Like,
yeah,
American Tail, I forget the song, but, like, Somewhere Out There, yeah, that's the song. Anastasia has some good fucking tunes. I don't know if Secret of Nim really had anything, but, like, Land Before Time, like, it's gonna make me cry. Make me want to go have a marathon of movies. But
you're going to watch all, like, 17 Land Before Time movies?
Here's the thing. I draw the line after that first one. Did watch the second one just to see, oh, they're revisiting this world. No, there's no need to, like, be going back that... No. There's no way that those fucking dinosaurs did not get eaten by other predators 17 times.
Yeah, like, did they not age? They were like the Bart Simpson of the dinosaur world. It's just absurd. Like, at some point, you have to grow up, dinosaur. Like, that's... Or an asteroid's gonna hit you, one of the two. Why did that never happen in those? Land Before Time, like, 17. Fucking asteroid.
That's what I'm waiting for. The land that was before time... Asteroid.
It's 2 hours of just scorched earth in a crater.
maybe somehow Littlefoot kind of survives, but he like crawls out like underneath like some rubble.
Yeah.
You're like, help me. Or the comet comes down in the shape of a tree star.
Oh no. Oh no, up. Just tree star thwap. Just and then they could flash forward to, like, digging him up, like, 60 million years later. Dude, we should make this movie.
I'm going to put some Littlefoot in my car when I...
Jesus.
Oh, man. So, yeah, hopefully people can go to the Kickstarter for Dragon Slayer, the movie.
I think if you just search Don Bluth, it'll show up on there. Yeah. And
if not, here's the thing, though. He hasn't done a movie in years. I hope that even if this doesn't get kickstarted, that they're still going to do this anyways. I mean, we need to have some more dark, type,
cartoons. Children, none of this safe space nonsense. Let's scar some children, just like we were. We turned out okay, I guess.
Oh, that's what we need is another South Park movie, too.
Oh, my God. So good. I convinced my wife to watch that by telling her it was a musical.
It kind of is.
There's a lot of singing in it. She didn't necessarily... I also told her the same thing with Team America, because there was the America Fuck Yeah song.
Oh, jeez. So. Well, there's a couple of good songs in that one.
Yep.
Everyone has AIDS.
AIDS. Yeah, making fun of Rent and AIDS, all right?
So I'm assuming she didn't like the South Park.
She had the... I believe it was the Kyle Zom's a Bitch song stuck in her head. No, it was the Uncle Fucker song. She had stuck in her head for like 2 weeks and was really mad at me afterwards, but... That movie's awesome, so I don't even care.
You know, it was also an awesome movie for the time, I thought. Looking back, worst probably movie they've ever made was Masters of the Universe.
Oh my God. You know, as much as I loved Dolph Lundgren movies as a kid, because my dad really just let me watch whatever as long as I didn't go kill somebody, because I'm a responsible child that could separate fiction from reality, unlike some people these days, but let's not get political. Yeah. I was so excited for that movie because I was like, oh, Dolph Lundgren, he's awesome in all these crazy movies. That movie, after watching He-Man with the cartoons and everything, I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, it did not take anything from besides some characters.
Yeah, it was characters, and that was really it. Like, why were they in, like, modern-ish times and stuff? It was just absurd.
Well, the keytar, what is it, it wasn't Keymaster, there's the key, the synthesis player type thing.
Yeah.
And, like, in that movie, it played a badass tune. Don't get me wrong. Like, that was a sweet song that it played. But everything about that, like, that's how, like, you became, like, the master of the universe is being able to open portals to go through. Like, it seemed like Skeletor and his stormtroopers, like, that's what those things were. Like, his minions were, like, looking like Star Trooper type people. There's so much bad for that, but even then, if you look at it like terrible bad movie, good. Now, the reason why we bring this up is they're making a new He-Man movie.
Thank God. Hopefully it actually stays true to By the Power of Grayskull.
Oh, yeah, from what you had told me now, it's just a rumor and not a fact, but some bodybuilder dude named Mike O'Hearn... I had heard or believed was cast as He-Man in the new Masters of the Universe.
He's apparently in the running for it and trying to get his body to look the He-Man part, which he is already
it does.
Huge.
It looks like totally like saying this dude looks like he's a fucking real life He-Man. I'm down for that. Here's the thing though. He looks like He-Man. Like, how does he like dumb down to look like just Prince Adam? Like,
I know.
Cause he just looks like,
he looks like a wall of beef. Yeah. Like, the man is huge.
But here's the thing, though, is that equal acting, because we could have another Dolph-type actor where...
You know what's interesting, though? Like, Dolph acts like a dumb guy, super smart, has a chemical engineering degree from MIT.
Oh, shit.
Did you know he's a member of Mensa?
No.
Yeah, Dolph is, like, a genius, but...
Well, the thing is this, too. On that movie, that was, I think, one of his first castings. So he didn't speak English at all. He did not. So that's why his, like, well, all the acting, the whole movie was directed bad, so he can't really blame his acting. I mean, he did look a part as well. Just whenever he talked, it just sounded like, are you going to fight Rocky now? Like, yeah, what the
hell? I must break you.
Yeah. So, but I am totally in for a He-Man. You wouldn't call it a reboot. You just don't really think of the first movie as being a movie.
No, we just pretend that one didn't exist and bury it in the same place all those E.T. Atari cartridges were buried.
You know about that story, though, that they found those, right?
Yeah, they did, which there's a whole, like, documentary people made about that, but...
We were at C2E2 2 years ago when we're talking with the Dorkly guys. They literally, I think we were either doing an interview, setting up an interview, just hanging out, and then it just, like, one of the people said to their main editor, did you hear this? You know, they just unearthed it, and we're like, what? And they're talking, because they have, like, a bigger website, and they're just like, we need to get on this. We need to start doing some, we need to start doing some research. Like, yeah, they legitimately found the burial ground for the E.T., you know, cartoon.
Which was thought lost forever, because it was just in, like, a dump site in the middle of the desert.
Yeah, no one knew where. Yeah, and then they made the documentary of it and everything. I'm just like, it's kind of sad that they found it, because it used to be kind of just that myth that you could just say
that this game actually existed and there weren't more than, like, the few test cartridges floating out there, because apparently it was unbeatable and unplayable.
Have you ever played it?
No.
I did.
I'm sorry.
And we didn't own it. It was at one of my dad's friend's house, and his son had Atari games, and fuck, this is even at the time of, like, the NES is out. We had an NES, and my dad had an Atari, but just not that shitty game.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember trying to play it. And I don't even know why, like, as a kid, I wouldn't have heard the rumors of how bad it was. But I didn't know what the fuck to do.
Because you just got stuck in, like, a hole.
You just kept falling down a hole and get up, and then you'd be walking. And then some, like, person chases you. So then you would just fall down a hole, but then that person would come in. It was the worst. There was no point to that game. Terrible.
It was called the cash grab. That was the point. But that didn't even work, because they lost, I'm sure, millions on burying all the terrible
cartridges. It should have. This is... Publishers don't make shitty video games just to try to do a cash grab. Like, at least make it somewhat playable. And kids these days... Like, I feel like an old man, like, get off my lawn. Like, kids these days don't know what...
No, because with all the day one patches and everything, you can release a shitty game and just fix it later. Versus back then, you bought the cartridge, spent your hard-earned $40 or whatever that it was, and you had to deal with your terrible piece of shit until you saved up enough money again. The trials and tribulations of being a child back in the day.
Yeah, well, I guess I would say, though, too, that, I mean, people nowadays do have to deal with, you know, DLC and not having full games as well. So I guess there's a different side to that aspect for video games. But
at least stuff nowadays can be fixed.
Do you play any, besides Fallout, any other games that you've played recently?
Yeah, lots of stuff.
Like what?
New Halo.
Okay.
Halo 5 is pretty sweet.
I mean, I'm seriously asking you, because not only are you younger than me, but... I'm
not that much younger than you, though.
But I don't have a new system, though. Like, so I haven't... Like, I play mobile games, mostly. I do have my 3DS, but, like, games at home, like, console, like, that might be what I want for Christmas this year, just... But then I know that I... Well, it would maybe save me some money, actually, from going out to the bar, so...
Yeah, see? Yeah, you'll spend money in a different place. Yeah, you can drink by yourself and play Call of Duty or something. I don't know. Probably not that, but...
Oh, I do have a quick side story just to tell you. And I had a friend. We were out doing a bonfire the other night. And she's a friend that would come over sometimes. We used to watch, like, scary movies in October. And
watch a lot of Hand Job Cabin.
Yeah. Just hang out and just chill. But
and Netflix?
I had asked her. I said, you know, do we need to watch a movie soon? She goes, oh, yeah, but there's no scary movies. I was like, all right. You know, I have Netflix, so you want to come over and chill? And she goes, yeah. I was like, so Netflix and chill? She goes, yeah, I'm down for that. I had her say it like 5 times, stopped everyone else's conversation. Everyone, I'm not trying to embarrass Rachel, and she's looking at me weird. I go, she doesn't want to watch scary movies. She goes, she's like, well, it's just, you know, she's trying to explain that because I was trying to, but she does want to come over and Netflix and chill. And she goes, yeah. Everyone's dying laughing. Like, she's like, what? I don't get it. Does that mean something? Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, it does.
So that was good. So end rant over, but that we had a good good chuckle at that.
Hey, laughing at someone else's misfortune or lack of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty true.
So one thing that I have been excited for a while, and as we just talked a little bit of casting for He-Man, we're trying to get away from just the every week, like, quick jot of, like, news. Like, oh, and this person got cast here. And then that's it for what we say. Oh, that could be cool. That could be bad. Like, you know, who knows? But when we have a bunch of casting things and we can critique of, that's a good choice, that might suck, that's where real discussion comes in. And something that I've been wanting to talk to for a couple weeks now, but they finally casted them all, is Power Rangers.
Yeah, you love Power Rangers.
Yeah, and I don't know why. Like, I even look at it, like, them and Transformers, like, just two things out of childhood that I even remember when I heard Power Rangers coming, and it, mainly I think it goes back to because it's real-life Voltron, but when Power Rangers was originally coming out, and I was telling everyone, we all, like, we should all watch this, like, you know, let's watch it, and friends at school were teasing me, like, that's dumb, that looks stupid, and then the next day at school, people were like, did you see that? Oh my gosh. So I was like, yeah, I was right.
Power Rangers blew up like Pogs.
Yeah. But it still stays unlike Pogs. But yeah, going back to what I was saying is, they're making a new movie coming out in 2017. There's been a lot of speculation of what's going to happen in this movie. Who are these Rangers going to be? Is this going to be like the original Power Rangers movie, which was pretty good, box yep. office wise as well?
It had Apocalypse in it.
Ivan Ooze is a pretty badass bad guy, I would say. But it had everything that you needed in a Power Rangers movie. They got new Zords. They had the original cast. It was great. However, they also made the movie Power Rangers Turbo that was following off that show, which didn't do as great. And since then, they haven't really made a Power Rangers movie.
Yet they have made a million different Power Rangers series.
Oh, yeah. I think they're 23 now.
It's ludicrous. Like, I didn't even know. I remember watching it when I was younger, and I think I watched through maybe a couple episodes of Zeo, and then I was pretty much done with Power Rangers because I was probably almost an adult at that point.
Oh, I have still just randomly, just to see what it is. The Zords transform everything, like, it looks like they decided to not give as much of a shit, and, like, production-wise, you know, not the animation, but the effects don't seem as good as the first year. But going into this movie, they could do the same thing as Turbo, tied into the series that is now, and for the younger generation, but they are losing viewers, like, there aren't those people that were as geeked about it when it first came out like me. The show has suffered. So what should they do is go back to the roots. Make a movie that I would want to go actually to the theater and see, and make more of an adult Power Rangers movie. And there was someone that made like a bootlegged unofficial,
that gritty like trailer thing like they did with Mortal Kombat a few years ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was
there's a lot of death in that. And
yeah,
that made a lot of people's hopes up of being like, if they ever do a Power Rangers movie, let's have it a little bit more darker, you know? Because in that fucking movie, like, there's people doing drugs and like
there's
shooting
a,
up and
people getting shot in the face. It's a dark trailer.
Yeah, and this movie is probably not going to be dark. Probably not even dark at all, but I hope it's not campy made for kids. Because, yeah, you want to get, you know, the show reinvigorated, so hopefully having a box office movie would make, but it's not going to be a box office hit if you can't put people in your seats. So what they're doing is they're going back to the roots, and these are going to be the original Power Rangers. Now, not the same actors, but their names at least suggest, you know, Jason, the Red Ranger, it's going to be Dockery Montgomery. Kimberly will be Naomi Scott. Billy will be RJ Seiler. Zach will be Ludi Lin. And Trini will be Becky Gomez. And now I just realized that they aren't doing what they say they accidentally did in the first.
Yeah, the racial stereotype characters.
Yeah, like.
Oh, it's shocking that the Yellow Ranger is Asian.
Yeah. So yeah, they definitely switched it up to where they're racial background doesn't reflect the costume suit that they're in, which is good.
Yeah, thank God it's not stereotypes for children.
Well, like, everything was... you look at it, you know, we already said the Black Ranger and the Yellow Ranger. Pink Ranger was the gymnast, like, whatever, girly girl.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess Blue Ranger, he was just a white male anyways. But the Red Ranger, I think he had some Native American-ish in him. And then Tommy, Green Ranger, he was Irish. And they casted him as Irish. And that was after the fact that they already knew this. Like, they knew exactly what they were doing, and any...
It was not a coincidence, is what we're saying. Despite what they may tell you, they made it the Mighty Morphin Racist Rangers.
Yes, exactly. So going back to this new movie, also have heard some rumors of it would possibly have a low budget to make it, you know, so that they can just make it cheap on the fly. However, there's been other rumors saying that, no, we will get the big budgeted, like, if they have some good money, they will put some thought and effort into how can they give homage to back in the day, like, people like me to really care to go see the movie. Are they going to get new Zords? Are they going to do the original ones? Like, to me, honestly, I think go back to the original ones, or at least don't have them suck. Like, when you have cars that turn into...
Yeah, Zord, not as cool.
Like I said, and that's going back to Turbo days, but there's been other ones, SBD, Rangers in Space. Like, the cars just, they don't seem as great.
I don't want cars. I want dinosaurs. I always loved dinosaurs as a kid. So the fact that they had dinosaurs turn into a giant robot, freaking sweet.
Well, I just want us also them to explore the mythology and lore. The first couple seasons all followed kind of the same team, and so with that, they were able to create a sense of, like, wonder of this Zordon versus Rita. And then even when there was a new team of Power Rangers, they still carried over some of those bad guys to still go to the good versus evil, but this is the most evil. And that's another thing, too, though. Rita was the biggest evil in the world until Lord Zedd came. And then after Lord Zedd, who then got dumbed down because he was scary as hell for kids to watch.
Yeah, he looked like a flayed man. It was disturbing.
And there was a point where he was, like, on top of, like, his shit. And then he seriously became dumb, like, you know, just like Goldar or something. Like, and actually, Goldar, I think, was the only smart one out of that whole grouping. But, no, he then got dumbed down. And because of that, I feel like the show suffered because they didn't have great bad guys. They had comic relief, like, bad guys, like, bumbling idiots. And then I think it was, like, Rita's dad who came in with her brother. And all in all, like, that's where, like, so some of the other bad guys that have come later, there's, like, a pirate ship guy that wanted to take over. This was in, like, Ninja, Neo something or other. Yeah, dude looked stupid. Like,
that sounds stupid.
Yeah, because he wanted to take over the Earth realm because it has water or something.
Was this Mortal Kombat?
Yeah, that's what it felt like, kind of, when they're going into the whole premise of the show. So, I hope to God that they bring back the Zordon era, Rita era, which they are actually, I've seen that's cast as the bad guys and good guys, but get more into where did these Power Rangers go, because when they originally had the first Zords, those were the only Zords. Those are the Zords that you thought, you know, maybe they might get an upgrade, but then there's more Zords. And then, wait, other Power Rangers happen on Earth, and if it's supposed to be believed, the same Earth... Where the fuck did those Zords come from?
I was just always confused. Like, I know Rita made the Green Ranger and the Dragon Zord, but where the fuck did Titanus, the giant Brachiosaur, just miraculously come from? They're like, oh, surprise, we have this giant-ass robot. Why don't you use that every time? It always wins.
Well, then, like I said, in the second season when they had the... And I forget what the Zords were called.
They had, like, the Dragon Zords.
Those? Well, no, they're a mythical thing. So there's a unicorn, there was a...
I thought they just called them... There was the Dragon Zord. I thought they were just Dragon Zords or something.
No, the Red Ranger had his Dragon Zord, which was the red that could turn into its own... The toys were fucking badass then, too.
It was that long, like, Asian, like, dragon, like you'd expect to see on a Chinese menu. Yeah.
And then... Tommy had his White Tiger Zord when he became the White Ranger. And that was also sweet. But where the fuck did those Zords come from? And then, like, oh, then Neo happened after that, which, okay, those came from a different world, but you're thinking, if there are Zords everywhere, it's like, Oprah Zordon. Like,
you get a Zord. Everybody gets a Zord. You know what would really make me go see this movie, I think?
What?
If they just killed Alpha, like, in the trailer. I'd be so happy. Just murder him. He's like the Jar Jar Binks of Power Rangers.
Ay, 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 ay.
Exactly. Yup, yup, yup. Ay, 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 ay.
You know he's going to blatantly, like, do that. That's going to be part of the trailer, too. It'll be, instead of, like, boom, boom, it's going to be, like, and then the Rangers need to save, was it Angel Grove? Yeah, Angel Grove. Ay, 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 ay,
ay, ay. I feel like this is going to be like when I saw the Lego movie in the theater, and it's going to be all, like, 30-year-olds and, like, 3 kids.
That movie was sweet, too. I mean, let's not get off topic of Power Rangers here. We could talk about Power Rangers all day, but Lego movie.
That was a fantastic way to make me want to go see it.
They made it for adults, too, so, mm-hmm. Yeah.
If they could do that with Power Rangers, yeah, I'd probably go see it in theaters.
I will say, I haven't watched every single every single Power Rangers show. However, I have watched, like, recaps and, like, I would say a good 24 hours worth of, like, learning shit about all of them.
Yeah, I remember coming over, like, 2 months ago and you were watching some history of Power Rangers on YouTube that was, like, half hour long for each season or something.
Yep, and I watched every single one of those and it was great. So, like I said, I could talk about Power Rangers forever. I'm hoping this movie is going to be great.
Hey, we can hope.
Yeah.
I do love me some Power Rangers. It gives me fond memories of my youth.
So. Yeah. Oh, shit. Zordon, what do you need? You want us to stop talking? I will turn off my ringtone.
Sure, we can gladly.
Because that wasn't seemed planned at
no,
all.
No, not one bit. There wasn't any filler there to make that happen.
Yeah, there's other casting news that's come out and everything that you were all geeked about this week.
I was super excited because it looks like The Walking Dead finally cast Negan, who is a huge character in that comic and has been for the last several years.
Do you still read the comic?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep, so I do. So that's part of the thing I wanted to talk about because Jeffrey Dean Morgan is who they cast. He was in Supernatural, Grey's Anatomy, Magic City, a lot of shows like that. The only thing is he always dies right away in those shows. And for once,
I haven't really seen. The only thing that I've known him from is from Watchmen.
Yep.
Which
also
he
died
right away in that.
Also died. Yeah, he always dies in shows. And finally, since Negan is still alive, maybe he'll get to be a character that reoccurs for a little bit of time. It's great that finally this can happen, and he gets a role that he doesn't have to quit after one season.
So you think this is going to happen this year?
They said that he's going to be in the last episode of the season, so we all know what's going to happen then.
Yeah.
Also kind of tells us what Glenn's status is.
Yeah, because there's no way that is not going to happen. And that's where, like, when he met his demise, air quotes.
That, yeah, they couldn't leave such a pivotal. That was issue 100. That was such a big moment in the comics, and it was a huge turning point. There's no way they're going to completely take that out of the show and just let Glenn randomly get eaten by some random zombies in an alleyway. He needs to go out much bigger than that, and I think that's what they're going to go for.
That's what it is. Like, all my friends were speculating, too. Like, they didn't show it. Well, no, they showed it, kind of. Like, he was getting his guts eaten at, like, out. But is there, like, you know, all the people have, like, spectacular deaths. Well, to be honest, if I didn't know Glenn's fate from the comic books, I would have thought that was a shitty way how he fell down, but showing the gore and the, you know, the guts getting ripped out, yeah, that's a shitty way to go. But I think also at that point, too, like, he would have been, like, just dead if his stomach was open like that and they're tearing it out and eating him. So that's another reason to say that's not Glenn's guts that were getting eaten. That was the other dude that was an idiot.
Yep, Nicholas or whatever.
Yeah, Nicholas.
My hope here is, just because I want to see people's faces when they get their spirits crushed, like Game of Thrones with the mountain, I want them to bring Glenn back and then just have that moment happen, like, the next episode.
Day, yeah.
It was like, yes, Glenn is back, and then just boom.
Well, it's funny how many people have not read, like, people who listen to our show know we talk about comic books, we talk about these things, so hopefully they are on the up and up. However, how many people that... Well, yeah, I mean, I guess, yeah, general population that watched The Walking Dead may not have watched, you know. But even talking amongst some of our friends who read comic books who have not read that that book. Yeah, they don't want to know, have any of us talk whatsoever.
It's not like at this point we'd really be spoiling anything. Issue 100 was like 4 years ago. So
that's the thing that I feel too. Like, they've done some things that they've diverted from the book,
mm-hmm.
but there's things that iconic, it needs to be in the book. That's where I thought when they were last season, when they were in Terminus and there was a guy with a bat and beat some other people's heads in. I was like, is this how they're going to do it? Not bring Negan in, but this is going to be like a stand-in for Negan? And then that didn't happen. Then I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
Foreshadowing, though.
I'm just excited because Negan's such a cool character in the comic books. Yeah, he's a complete dick. But he has this, like, strange moral code about him that makes him, like, a likable bad guy, even though he's completely awful.
Well, how much he took oh, fuck, I forget now his name because I hate him on the show.
Carl?
Yeah, Carl. Yeah,
yeah, like, he is...
Took Carl under his wing, like, holy shit, dude! They're not going to do that on the show because they can't. That's just a lot of CGI to do.
But that's a really important thing. You'd think that they should do something in
Yeah, they got to have, like, a scarring or something. Like, maybe, like, a stab to the eye, and maybe he wears an eye patch or something, but yeah, because that's the big thing that happens.
He's just like, holy shit, this kid's hardcore, because he's got a giant, like, gaping hole in his face.
Yeah, which was also one of those things, I remember seeing that, and that's one of the few pictures watching the, or reading the book, that I was like, oh, ooh, that's a little too much for me.
Between that and, like, I think Rick still, I know they are talking, like, it's hard to do with Rick losing his hand, but I think that would be kind of important to do at some point as well.
We saw recently, you know, what happened, and we don't want to be, like, Talking Dead and talk about the show so much, but he had cut his arm or hurt mm-hmm. his arm. I'm wondering if that's going to be so that he has his hand, but now it's, like, it hit, like, a muscle so that
so
he
it
can't
doesn't
really,
work, like, he has nerve damage work, or something. His, like,
okay, I can see that. You know, it's gonna be
yeah. It's easier that way. You don't have to CGI out of hand and increase your budget every season. Nice way to save some money for more gore. But yeah, I'm just really excited about Negan being on the show.
Well, here's the one thing that I do have to bitch about the show writing. Things are great on that show. Like, follow like simple rules of if you get bit or whatever, this is how it's, you're gonna get infected, or you know, and you're gonna get sweaty, and then like and like just how gritty it looks. The one thing in a heaven, it goes back to Glenn's death. How right away Maggie wrote his name up on the wall of, like, you know, like, was that the dead wall?
Yeah, like yeah. The memorial wall. Yeah.
Yeah, like, you automatically think he's, just because he didn't come back from his mission. Fucking Daryl and all of them are still doing their mission, bringing half the herd
around.
Their
names aren't on the wall.
Yeah, it's like, because you haven't heard from him, that means that he's dead. Like, really, that's given up pretty quick. But then I feel like they're writing that in there to, like, really put it home that he's dead when
yeah well they
we
took
all
him
he's not, like,
they took him off the opening credits too, so they're really hard selling that fact, but mm-hmm. no, he's
let's well, though goes on to though like then there's product like people upload shit all the time, like here he is on, you know, the set. So
yeah, they hit him with Jesus, who's another character coming soon, so you know you can kind of hide it, but when you have stuff like that, you know he's probably still around up to the point where bad things are going to happen, which mm-hmm. it sounds like is going to be the finale of this season.
What's the same thing that they had with Jon Snow, or what's his name, Kit?
Yeah, Kit Harington.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, he's not dead. Like, just, but the Game of Thrones is now ahead of the books, but just, you know, foreshadowing and knowing he's not dead. Like, he's going to come back to life.
Somehow. But they've already established that you can come back in Game of Thrones.
But if they wanted to really fool viewers, you should have started off right away saying, we have some flashback scenes that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have made people be like, we're going to explore who Jon Snow's parents were. Which they obviously are going to do eventually.
Because that's going
to be a flashback.
Yeah.
So, why not just say, no, he's dead, but there's going to be like a memorial scene, whatever. And that people would be like, oh, that's why he's on set.
Well, that's kind of what they tried to do with Walking Dead, too, by saying Glenn is still going to be around in, like, flashbacks and memories and things like that, but he's, no, I'm...
But that's the thing, though, with at least The Walking Dead, we know 100% how he died and everything. Game of Thrones is now cut off.
Yeah, we're in that...
No one knows shit now.
You're in that strange limbo where we just have to kind of...
Speculate.
Wait and see.
Yeah, the breadcrumbs have been set, but then, yeah. You knew of another Kickstarter that was going on right now.
Yeah, it's actually starting, I guess, today, technically, because this will be uploaded on Monday. Mm-hmm. Dan Doherty is doing a Kickstarter for a hardcover of Touching Evil. It's a story of Ada Mansfield, a single mom criminal lawyer, and she also bears an ancient curse. She can kill anyone she touches if they are, in fact, evil. Cool concept, first 7 issues in hardcover. It is the Sheldorf Award winner for self-published comic of the year, I believe back a couple of years ago, for the first issue. So, yeah, go out and support Dan. You can go to beardocomics.com or just search Kickstarter for Touching Evil, starting on Monday, which should be today. Sounds like, according to Dan, he sent us a little info on this, that he's going to have some cool stretch goals, one of which is going to be a Dirk Manning Touching Evil story drawn by him. So that's pretty awesome, mm-hmm. since we all love Dirk. And potentially a Touching Evil Beardo crossover, one of his other series. So a bunch of different rewards, and there's an opportunity.
You get drawn in
to Touching Evil in the future. So really cool Kickstarter, guys. Go out there, give some money. I don't think you're going to regret it at all. It's going to be a really good story. You can also pick up all the issues on his website currently. He'll sign all of them for you. But, yeah, go out, spend some money, do the Kickstarter thing. So
I do like Kickstarter. We will be bringing that up in a show segment coming up soon, not today, about some thoughts on Kickstarter. And also, in that show, if you have a Kickstarter that you either like or you yourself are doing, if you're in the comic book world, get a hold of us.
Tweet it to us. Facebook us. We've been kind of bad at responding to Facebook messages lately, and we apologize for that. But if you shoot us some messages, I promise I'm going to try to get back to you as soon as possible. We are fairly busy. We do have real lives, too. But we will gladly try to get you plugged on the show. I know this week I plugged one of my friends because he did a commission for me, and I posted that out there. So you can all see that as well. It's pretty cool. So, if you want us to mention you on the show and we think it's pretty awesome, we will gladly do that for you.
Something that is sometimes talked about on this show, but mainly because we hate numbers and we don't really give two shits because we think everything is great. But a big thing that's been happening in the blogosphere is how DC is struggling to catch up to Marvel as far as sales of comic books.
Yeah, this article on heroicuniverse.com talks about DC's struggles continuing and that their sales in October 2015 show that they're struggling. See, I think this article is a little skewed, though, because you and I were talking about this.
Well, it's not even just this article. The numbers are the numbers, though. You can look up any Diamond publisher site and you're going to see the same numbers that show Marvel is outselling everyone. And if you take away, reading this particular article does give you a little thoughts on this and that, but it's truth, though. If you take away the Batman books, DC's numbers are the same as Image. Not to put down Image, but when it comes to comic books, they're clear-cut the big two and then everyone else. And, I love Valiant books, but Valiant would be able to say, yeah, we don't sell the amount of numbers that Marvel, DC, or Image does. We have our fans, and we still do our thing. They're not going to try to deny themselves more than what they are. But DC was a juggernaut, and there's a couple reasons why I think it's not.
I think one of the big things is, unlike Marvel, who's kind of been continuity between all their comics, DC is just letting the storytellers tell their stories and continuity be damned between different series.
That is honestly my biggest bitch, and I am a fanboy. I think I speak on behalf of fanboyism you need to keep the story straight. Awesome if you're going off on doing some other Elseworld stuff, but that's what those are for. That's what there's other universes for, and that's what Marvel has always done. They've had their multiverse, and they've used it to whichever way they wanted, so that if someone wanted to tell this story that didn't fit into the main world, go make up some number and you can call it, this or Ultimates or something else.
And I can totally agree with that, because DC right now does kind of have a little chaos going on. There's two different Justice League comics that have absolutely nothing to do with each other. The Standard Justice League with the Dark Side War has absolutely nothing to do with any of the standalone issues of the individual characters. Like, Batman is still Bruce Wayne in Justice League, but he's not in the Standard Batman comic, and they in no way touch on that. Their timelines
I gave up on Batman a while ago, but I do understand that Commissioner Gordon is Rabbit Robot.
Yep.
is Bruce actually in the books at all, or is he just missing?
Yeah, okay. he's actually a pretty central thing. He just doesn't know he's Batman.
They could have done, if they wanted to do, is had Batman be off in the Bat chair.
Uh-huh.
Except for now the
Bat chair's back.
The when he came back, then it would show that he's backing up. But, like, that would be an easy way to write him out of Batman the comic book, have him be doing Justice League. But now you have these.
They've kind of said that Dark Side War took place pre-convergence, and pre-convergence kind of wiped everything away. But they never really explicitly stated that. That's just the only place logically it fits into any sort of timeline with the characters how they are. But I
believe they dropped the pooch on convergence too a bit. And
yeah, that was the biggest shitstorm.
It came down to, well, they've cleared house a couple times with their crises, which were great books and of themselves. But when you have to have multiple crises, you need to get over this fucking 52 number. Let there be a multiverse for many different stories, many different ways that could be interacted. We've already shown Flash can go to vibrate different ways.
Well, yeah, I mean, there was the whole Flashpoint time when there were a million different things that happened that just completely made an alternate reality, essentially.
What was it, the black boxes or whatever?
Well, there was Flashpoint where Flash, like, accidentally changed time.
Well, yeah, but that's what pretty much made, though, the whole new 52 thing. And that's where I think they lost a lot of readers. And that's the biggest point where I wanted to go into discussing this of how I wanted to say, well, the numbers do speak this, but I wanted to say it's not necessarily reflecting the overall story of DC's struggling woes, because right now Marvel has probably one of the best events that I've read in comic book lore in forever.
Yep.
And with Secret Wars going in, they have fucked up on some of their, you know, events. I am a person that is so sick of events, but I eat crow when I say, not this one, though. Like, this event is so amazing. The tie-in books have been all perfect. Even the ones that I wasn't all that interested in, I'm like, holy shit, this is kind of cool. Not knowing everything is also a thing to explore this world, and they're just doing great with it. October has seen the ending of some of those books, so I don't think Marvel's numbers are going to be as inflated going ahead.
But here's the other thing Marvel is really good at, and that's a rebooting series to put out new number ones, which make people want to buy them again because it's a number one.
That's one thing where I give DC credit. They don't do that stupid shit.
They don't.
They do sometimes variant covers, and I understand the sometimes want for variant covers. I really don't. If it's between the same price point, because sometimes those get marked up at comic book
exorbitant
shops too.
Fees, yeah.
Yeah. I look and I go, if that cover looked kind of cool, okay, I'll grab that one. Other than that, I'm not incentivized to buy variant covers ever.
No, like, DC does a lot of, like, this year they did a bunch of variant covers for the different anniversaries of certain characters.
Plus,
like,
they haven't done as many as what Marvel does.
No, Marvel puts out, like, 17 covers for every issue.
Are inflated.
And, yeah, the fact that they constantly recycle to new number ones, like, for a completely ridiculous example, there's been 2 issue number ones of Squirrel Girl this year. Not even a different year.
And didn't that just start, like, in the beginning of the
summer? It started in January, February, and then they went, oh, shit, time to reboot it again, because it's all new, all different. So they even made fun of that on the cover, though. It's our second number one this year.
I was going to say, the other big thing of why Marvel's numbers are so huge is the juggernaut that is Star Wars.
They have the hottest property with a bajillion fanboys freaking out because a new Star Wars movie is coming out.
Yeah.
It's a cash cow for them. The Star Wars series are like the top, like, 5 of the top 10 comics out are Star Wars titles right now. They are just printing money by printing different Star Wars. There's that new Star Wars, like, Vader Down thing coming very soon. That, I'm sure, is going to be in the top 10. The Shattered Empire, the prequels to the new movies, that's a great way to get people that wouldn't necessarily buy comics to buy comics. Having the whole Marvel under Disney gives them so much property that they can work with.
Mm-hmm. And so that in of itself is why, you know, Marvel is kicking DC's ass. Now, let's go to some of the things that DC is not doing good. And as we said, their continuity, you just can't have that. But it goes, what I was going to say before switching subjects to what Marvel is doing good is Flashpoint. Flashpoint, when they reset everything and just said, fuck everything that happened in the past, pissed off a lot of readers.
It made a lot of people quit reading DC.
They were trying to get new readers, understandable.
Which they did.
But they didn't get as many as they lost, and those other people that they lost have not come back.
Yeah, and that is one of the things they're trying to do now, is figure out how they're going to get pre-Flashpoint readers back. Like, the new Lois and Clark comic is supposed to be in the continuity pre-Flashpoint to have those old characters to try to bring readers in. Unfortunately, it didn't really work that well for them. They didn't sell nearly as many as they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
So I think people just had that sour taste.
I would say, like, seriously, if you haven't been reading DC, go read the Dark Side War, because that's fucking amazing.
That is crazy.
Some good writing. But yeah, what's the consequence of that going to be? That will probably be, you know, left to the wind, and then nothing happens from it. Why did I get invested in it? Why did I read it?
It's very self-contained right now. It has nothing to do with any of the other stuff. Yeah, they've put out their one-shots for each of the individual characters and how they're new gods.
But those are just those characters that are there.
Yep.
Something's not happening over here.
Exactly.
And the other big thing that I'd also put out, too, is they have the multiverse books that they put out, and they seem that they are definitely going to stick to 52 universe, which, or Earths, which, cool, if that's what you're going to do, but use them all. There's still 7 that no one knows what's going on in that multiverse. Make one of them pre-Flashpoint. You could have a whole world where instead of every comic book saying New 52, if they're actually going to do, like, how Ultimates, it said Ultimates, but that was in the Ultimates world. You knew this book was in the Ultimates Marvel Universe. Have it say pre-Flashpoint or whatever, Earth 52, make it that number, or whatever Earth numbers that haven't been used yet, and go that route. But I don't think DC's listening to our podcast.
I think we can all just agree that Nick Lachey is at fault for this. With those terrible Twix ads split across 2 pages.
That just pissed some people off. I don't think they really... if someone really stopped reading DC for that, they're not a comic book fan. That's something stupid to just drop a book for, or a whole publisher for.
Split ads. I do want to touch on a couple of these things from the sales numbers in October 2015 that I think you're going to be surprised about, because they are very surprising. Squirrel Girl outsold Superman.
That is what?
Yeah. Squirrel Girl in October outsold Superman.
Well, I mean, one is a person who has near to no vulnerabilities, and the other just lost his power, so.
True, yeah, Squirrel Girl is the strongest of the Marvel heroes. Another big one, DC has no titles in the top 10 for sales, and only 2 in the top 20, which I'm sure is going to be Batman.
Okay, but you also have to look at top 7 of the top 10, weren't they all Star Wars books, though?
Yeah, the majority of them were Star Wars books.
If you take those out, was there any, you know, DC coming in within the top 20? I mean, they'd have some. That's where I feel like I said, when you just look at the numbers without really analyzing, yeah, they're skewed a bit because Star Wars is, like, skewing everything. You need to almost do, like, a bell curve, like...
Yeah, I'm sure once Star Wars, hype in December is not necessarily over, but settles down, some of these numbers will kind of come back to reality. But another big thing to look at here is that most of Marvel's comics are $3.99, and most of DC's titles are $2.99. It's made zero difference.
And that's the number that I saw that was very shocking. Like, I am pissed off at Marvel for raising the prices on comic books.
But people are willing to pay it. They don't care that a book, which I'm sure
I do. People, stop buying some of those books. Make it go back.
It's never going to happen. Yeah. You're going to get $3.99, $4.99, $5.99 forever. Just get used to it. Yeah, but yeah, DC does have typically to try to bring in business a few of the lower priced books. But obviously, people are willing to spend whatever. You could take a shit in a comic bag, put a Star Wars title on the front of it, and I bet you people would pay $10 for it at this point.
They would. All right, well, getting towards the end of our show, last week we asked listeners if they had any random questions for us that they wanted us to answer. And we actually got a couple. I was surprised that, you know, it's not as the millions that I was hoping for. But we had a couple people ask us some questions, so we grabbed one out of the hat, and you have that.
Yeah, we got a Facebook message from Mary that I guess, going back to one of my favorite characters, which we've talked about a few times on this show, asking me if Squirrel Girl was inhuman or a mutant.
Okay.
Since we talked about Inhumans last week.
And, yeah, she's a mutant, right?
She was originally a mutant, but that has recently been retconned in the new Unbeatable Squirrel Girl series.
Really? Okay, so you're going to acknowledge me then.
Yeah, I'm going to knowledge bomb you a little bit here. She has a set of armor based similarly to Iron Man's modular armor now in Unbeatable Squirrel Girl, but she is also not necessarily a mutant. She is just a unspecified something happened to her relating to her RNA and DNA, but she is medically and legally distinct from being a mutant now.
Okay. Well, I wonder.
Because she's not an inhuman and she's not a mutant.
I can't get it out of like what I want to say because I've talked ad nauseum of Marvel's trying to take away rights from Fox by making things not mutants.
It is such a blatant fuck you to Sony with this.
Like, no, Fox.
Oh, is it Fox? Oh, it is Fox. Sorry. It is Fox. Sony has the bastard and Fantastic Four, right? Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm just mad at that. But yeah, it's Fox. So this is a blatant middle finger by not saying she's not a mutant and just giving her random powers based off something.
Off of her DNA and RNA, which is what makes the X gene in your DNA makes you a mutant.
Yep.
That is, wow.
Yeah, because originally she was a mutant with crazy squirrel powers, and she is honestly the strongest person in the Marvel Universe, because no one can ever beat Squirrel Girl.
Here's the one reason why I didn't pick up Squirrel Girl, and they now made her a joke, which is cool. You know, I do like funny books, but I feel like Deadpool filled that role, and I wish they would have made someone else up besides Squirrel Girl, because what I liked about her and what was written great in the New Avengers and Mighty Avengers from, 5 years ago, when she randomly showed up sometime being Luke Cage's babysitter, was you just see this person that just seems like that's a stupid name, that's weird powers, but then she does kick ass. Like, not needing to do slapstick, not needing to, you know, have some crazy, you know, Ex Machina type thing happen, was great. Now it's, you know, something random weird's gonna happen, and they just flat out say it. I'm unbeatable. I can win everything. I guess there's a niche for that, but for me personally, taking away her mutant power.
You know when she originally showed up in, 1992 in that, Christmas special, or what was it, fall special something that Marvel did, and she saved Iron Man from Dr. Doom by attacking him with squirrels? Did you know she also doesn't communicate with squirrels telepathically? She can speak squirrel.
Oh, I thought it was telepathically.
Nope, something else you learned today. Dropping Squirrel Girl knowledge bombs on everyone.
You know, she was the greatest of the shitty. You remember when they had many different Avengers?
The Great Lakes Avengers.
Avengers. And she was the only one that really kind of, some people just kind of had something for her that was that's so dumb but cool. I don't know.
Yeah, the Squirrel Girl's a fun character, but yes, they have kind of made it a little bit ridiculous with the fact that she pretty much knows she can beat everyone. Like, in the recent Unbeatable Squirrel Girls, probably 3-4 issues ago, she did thwart Galactus.
Yep.
From attacking Earth by taking him to a planet full of nuts, which is kind of hilarious. But
that is kind of funny. All right. We would normally do Booze in a Book at this point, but
we started our show off strong.
Yeah, so we don't have that for you. What do we have left? I think we're pretty much done. Oh, I will say thank you for the question. If you guys have other questions, get to us. You know how. We've already said it before.
Yep. Please shoot us Facebook messages, emails, hit us up on Twitter. You know where to find us at this point, I am sure. We're thinking of working on the website to add maybe a little bit of interactivity on there. We're going to see where that goes. So be on the lookout for that, too. That could be in the coming months. So we're trying to really redo a little bit of everything here. So we're really excited about it.
Something that we are going to start doing at the end of the show is our a final thought. Could be a rant, could be a quote, could be anything. And last week I had a pretty sweet quote to start this new segment that we're doing.
And you even pronounced the words right.
I know. However, right underneath that quote, I found an even better one that would have worked so well then, especially since we were talking about A Train Called Love. And this is from Warren Ellis, and it's a great quote. So these are words to live by. Dance like you're stamping on a human face forever. Love like you've been in a serious car crash that minced the front of your brain. Stab like no one can arrest you, and live like there's no such thing as God. Warren Ellis.
Deep.
Yeah. So with that, my friends, it's the end of the show.
Stay thirsty, my friends.